Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined with Sim Longa. And as we get ready to talk about this, let's just all just take a deep breath. The Purdue football team lost again, 52-6 over the weekend in at Camp Randall Stadium. And Sim, I mean, we talked about kind of what we thought heading into it, kind of what we thought some things were going to change. And unfortunately, it was too much Groundhog's Day, where a lot of the same things that have gotten in the way for the Boilermaker team, much of it is at their own fault, just led to another blowout. Embarrassing loss, however you want to say it. I mean, there's no way to kind of butter this one up. This was another embarrassing loss.
Yeah, man. I mean, like we spent what I think all of last week talking about like the need for complementary football, and you just like you said, it's a lot of what we saw on Saturday was a lot of what we've seen the previous 3 weeks, and even on offense, where obviously there were some unknowns due to the personnel changes, but even with that, it all looked the same in all the wrong ways. And so, as you said earlier, everyone take a deep breath because it's Groundhog's Day for sure.
And I think the frustrating thing is it got off to a pretty decent start. So we won't recap the whole game, but initially the defense kind of held their own and forced a couple of punts to start. I thought that the offense initially looked a little smoother, but of course they got in their own way with a holding penalty and had to punt. But then, I don't, the defense comes out, they force two punts. Dylan muffs them both. The second one, I don't know what is happening. When you have a guy muff his second punt inside the 10-yard line, like we talk about this, and this is like football 101 for returners. If you're inside the 10-yard line, you don't even try to touch it. And he just completely whiffed at it. I don't know. I'm assuming he lost it in the sun, because you can see his hand kind of go up and try to block it, but it was just one of those like WTF plays.
Yeah, no, I remember that's what. Yeah, I was I. That was the thing that kind of stuck out to me the most is like, so he fumbled, muffs the first one, but he's able to get back on that, and then the second one, yeah, he's very clearly like the sun is distracting him. But yeah, above all else, all I could think about as I watched the play, and even as they showed the replays, was why was he even trying to field it in the first place? And then if you actually look at the just his whole like how he tries to go up and even catch it with his hands. It just kind of looked that was just kind of always going to be a doomed scenario playing out. And you're right, is like the game didn't the game started off it started off fine, but it was like as soon as that play happened, it's like it kind of it started to the foundation of the house started to crumble.
It started to, because Wisconsin, I think, ran it in the very next play.
They absolutely, yep, they ran it in the next play. And then, obviously they scored again to go up 14-0. So at that point you're like, oh, okay, like, so we're gonna get to this quickly. And then, there's you have a bright spot from the defense in the second quarter. And getting not one, but two turnovers. But then, go back to the offense, and the offense is unable to really cash those in. We have to settle for field goals, short field goals at that on both of them. Because being in the red zone, and I believe we had goal to go situations and just weren't able to punch it in. And that could have really changed the game as well too. Because you if both of those are touchdowns and it's 14 all. It's 14 all, and there would be I think there would have been, there was a little over 3 minutes left in the second quarter. You could have very easily found yourself going into the half, tied. And that kind of would have let us, but like, put us in a situation like we were talking about, in the lead up is like, if you can just like, obviously stop the self-inflicted wounds, whether that's penalties, it's turnovers or whatnot. You can find yourself there in the fourth. And albeit, yeah, it would have been the third, but it's just kind of like, hey, look, if we're taking this a half at a time, like, okay, mission one, you know, stay in touch, like, you know, you're tied after a half. So now it's just, okay, look, this is one and a half of football now. Whoever wins this, you know, wins the game. And yeah, obviously it didn't play out that way. But yeah, just like you had a little bit of optimism there, really a couple points in the first half. And it's unfortunate, man, that they just continue to get in their own way. They continue to get in their own way.
Yeah, it was. I mean, to your point, that they made some plays, and when I say they, specifically Kendrick Breedlove, who let's give a shout out to him. I think he played really well. Had a couple very questionable DPI calls. One that was a monster one. It was on Wisconsin's second touchdown. If you remember, Purdue had him pinned deep. I believe it was like a 97-yard drive or something. They had him pinned deep. It was a third down. It would have been a three and out. And Breedlove gets called for a DPI. Seemed questionable. Definitely didn't seem like one Purdue would get. But they threw the flag. And then a couple plays later, you have Braden Locke hits Vinny Anthony for a 52-yard touchdown, which not quite sure what the defense was doing there. There was seemed to be like four guys in the area there, and somehow Vinny Anthony went untouched in the end zone. But to go back to your point, you get a couple of turnovers, and you have a chance, and I think that's where the game really, really flipped, and quite frankly, kind of where Purdue started to lose the game was the inability to turn those two turnovers into touchdowns. It felt like at halftime you left points on the board, and kind of felt like just missed opportunities there. And we'll talk about it here in a sec, but the play calling in the red zone, but just in general in the first half, it felt like missed opportunities there. And then Wisconsin, when they go down to score their last touchdown right before half, felt like a missed opportunity because I don't think Wisconsin was really had much of a sense of urgency going down right before half. They didn't manage the clock well at all, but turns out it didn't really matter going up against Purdue's defense because they hit a big like 25-yard play to set them up inside the five, I think, and then scored right before half. So, you know, that it really seemed to like just missed opportunities and left some points out on the board heading into halftime there.
Yeah, it's a double whammy. Like you said, we kicked that second field goal to go 14-6, and it's like, okay, well, you know, at least we got something out of it, and you're kind of feeling discouraged about that. But you're also telling yourself, hey, look, if we can get a stop here, you know, you go into the half, you're down only 14-6. You know, that's okay. That's not bad. And like you said, it didn't seem as though Wisconsin was necessarily in trying to drive with any sense of urgency of like, hey, let's score before the half. And I believe the 20-yard pass you were talking about, I think that was like a blown coverage, you know, which put them right at the doorstep. And you know, so then you go from already kind of being like, man, we might have really like, you know, fumbled a couple opportunities there with those two field goals we had to settle for. But then you turn around and then you, especially after the second one, you know, and then you give up a touchdown right at the end of the half. Just a real, real gut punch. And like you said, I think that's where the game to me really swung and kind of started the avalanche that, you know, got us to that final score.
And so let's talk about it a little bit with the offense. Last week we talked about kind of not knowing kind of what to expect going in, and to you know to the to OC Simmons' credit, it's a real tough situation that he kind of has been thrown into. But I think in the first half, there were just a few calls that really got under my skin, that I just felt like were again missed opportunities twice. I think it was the second and third drive. Purdue had to punt. They had it third and two both times. The first time they go down, Hudson throws a 50-50 ball up there. Had a chance at the play, but they didn't make it. They have to punt. Next time you have a third and two, you try to run the read option, which, by the way, can we just get the read option the hell out the playbook? Because it's a stupid play call to make when your QB refuses to run. And it was set up perfectly for Hudson to keep it. He's staring as the DN collapses down and hands it off. We get a yard and have to punt. Those two third and twos really were frustrating. And then the red zone calls in general, I thought were rough. The option play was maybe the worst play call I've ever seen in my life. I would be really curious to see kind of what the plan was. You bring in a backup quarterback who has not played in the game yet. You keep Hudson Card in the game, line him up as a wide receiver, and then you run the option to his side.
Yeah, that was the part that got me.
He has to block. Jesus. Like,
yeah,
if you're gonna run the option, okay. But why is your starting quarterback the lead blocker out there?
Right.
Like, it, I have no idea the thought process behind that play call.
There's a lot more bad that can go out of that play call than there can be good, because, like you said, you have Hudson out there blocking on the edge, and you just never know what happens. You know, that play really, really boggled my mind. And, like, you know, I think, you know, we talked about this offline, but I just think in the red zone, I think that we were trying to almost be too cute. You know, like those drives for the field goals were what, 42 and 46 yards. And I feel like, you know, getting all the way down till we got to like goal to go, we were fairly effective in terms of being able to move the ball. And it was kind of like, all right, well, that, like, the stuff that worked for us to get us down there, it was like, all right, that's cool. And then they were like, well, we don't want to run that now. We need to run some other stuff. And it's like, no, man, like, and I think this kind of goes back to a kind of a greater question that you asked last week, is like, what is this Purdue team? And I think the lack of having an identity shows in a situation where it's goal to go, because there does need to be something that you just hang your hat on, where it's kind of like, yep, we're going to line up and we're going to do this, and we do this better than you can defend it. So yeah, that's cool. But I think that not truly having faith in either the run or even a particular, pass package, that shows in those times like that, because now you're thinking you're almost trying to outthink yourself, not just like the defense. And yeah, that play to me, I was like, oh, that was, yeah, just, I would love to know what the thought process was, when that call was made, because I would have been stunned if it, honestly, I would have been stunned if it had worked. I'd have been stunned if it worked. Happy, of course, but stunned.
And honestly, it could have gone a whole lot worse if Maccabee doesn't make a heck of an effort just to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Which, again, like, you're bringing in a quarterback fresh off the bench to run off. The pitch was terrible. And you have an athletic quarterback in Hudson anyway. So if you want to run that play, I'm fine with it. But why not just keep Hudson as the QB and have someone who actually can block out there trying to lead the way? But I think it's a really good call out by you two, just speaking to the identity, because even a couple of times they tried to line up in like the power eye, right there at the goal line, and neither of them worked. And then you try to run a play action play, which didn't work. And I think one thing that was kind of frustrating for me, especially kind of down in the red zone area, and we talked about this at the start of the year, one of the things that really jumped out with this Purdue team was the size that they have at the wide receivers. It's something we're not accustomed to seeing as much. And I feel like that's a super missed opportunity to not at least like try to give some of those wide receivers a chance. some type of jump ball,
Fade route
something, just
was just there.
let him try to go make a play. I mean, not only wide receivers, but you got Max Clair, who's got an NFL body at tight end. Like, use that to your advantage, and at least have them, like, give them a shot.
When we talk about doing something different, that's what I mean. That can be, those are examples of something different, something that we haven't been doing up to this point. Like you said, like you have size at the wide receiver and tight end position, and it's like, all right, well, like, yeah, let's see if we throw it up to Jamaal Dean, is he going to be able to come down with it? Max Clair, same way. It's just like that would have been different, but yet also keeping it relatively simple. And then also too, I believe there was a play. I don't remember which particular red zone possession it was, but there was one. I think it came out of the standard eye, like you were talking about, where they had a designed run for Hudson Card to go to the right. Because I remember he got it, and like, you know, I remember they snap, they go, because they're on the TV screen, they're going from right to left, and so the snap happens, and then you see the lineman immediately start to, you know, to obviously run over to the right and try to, you know, create that to, you know, to get some blocks for Hudson to be able to get into the end zone, and he doesn't. But like seeing a play like that, it also makes me think, okay, well, why aren't you running that more? And then also takes me back then to us running the RPO. It's like, well, if you will call designed runs, that means that like all parties involved know that Hudson Card can use his legs, which then makes you wonder why every time we're in this read option, he just refuses to keep it. Just, yeah,
So
it's just kind of.
it just goes back to just missed opportunities. Like, you know, we keep talking about it, but, like, you know, even to your point, maybe, like, get Hudson out on some bootlegs and let him kind of see if he wants to throw, or if he can run it in. You know, just a lot of different options there that I just felt like could have tried to exploit versus the play calling decisions that were made in the red zone. And curious, some kind of your thoughts just on how the game was called offensively throughout, because I know, and it feels weird because we talked about it. You could see some changes sprinkled in there. I feel like they tried to get more plays on the edge, some, which is something that we wanted to see. Saw a couple, like, jet sweeps that seemed to work in the first half. Still haven't seen any screenplays that I can remember. But I feel like, just looking at it, like, at the end of the day, you need, like, it's nice to have some new plays, but at the end of the day, you need results. And you could argue that the offense almost took a step back too. I mean, Hudson goes 11 to 21 for 111 yards. You have two guys that had, I'm sorry, you have three guys who have two catches each. And you kick two field goals that the defense basically handed to you. You go, what was it, 1 of 11 on third down? And one thing that I thought that they got away from, I thought that the running game was there early. I was a little shocked when I looked, saw the final stat line and saw that Maccabee only had 45 yards, because I really thought that they got him going some and then got away from it way too quickly.
I thought Maka, he had some good runs early on, and I agree with you. I think that you were seeing some, don't want to say positive signs. I think you just saw some different stuff coming from the offense early on. But I think what probably really hampered them is just the fact that, you know, you come out of the half, you're down 21-6, and now you're kind of playing the score. So if you were hoping to, hey, we want to stay kind of within this in terms of what we've discussed in terms of the game plan, if you were thinking about running it more, or obviously you go down from, you know, when it goes from 21-6 to 28-6 to 35, you know, now at that point You probably can't be, you can't be running, obviously, because you're still competing, you're still trying to win this game, trying to get something going. You're naturally going to go away from the run. And yeah, I mean, Hudson's stat line is not what you want to see. And I think too, what are those 111 yards? What is it? You have three guys who I believe are taken care of. What is this? 6, 6, 12, 5, 17. So what's that? 70. Yeah. So I think it's 77 yards between Max Clair, Jamal Green, and Devin Mockaby. Those are like, that's from a receiving standpoint, 77 of the 111 was between those three guys. And like you said, 26, 26, and then 25 yards were the totals for all of them. So it wasn't even like necessarily, oh, you had three receivers were just balling out that game. It was just, yeah, it was rough. It was rough. And I think, yeah, I mean, to say that they took a step back, it's almost like, you know, what were you like, what, I guess my thing was just like, what was I really expecting? Like, I don't know if it's very often when you see like a coordinator change or something like that, and then you see an offense like kind of unleashed. I guess I just was hoping to see, okay, this is what we're going to do going forward. And I feel like after this game, I still don't know that. I don't have that answer. So again, I guess, yeah, I guess now my sticking point for today is just identity, I guess.
No, that's fair. Let's kind of flip it over to the defensive side. Obviously, when you give up 52 points, not a lot of highlights on the defensive end. We talked about Kendrick doing his thing. You got a couple of turnovers finally. But I feel like, and this goes back to what we talked about last week with complimentary football, I feel like the defense started off solid early, like we talked about. And then I don't know what happened. It was almost like a flip was switched or something. And they regressed, and it looked like the defense from the Notre Dame game. I mean, dudes were running around wide open, big plays all over the place. I mean, you give up a 52-yard touchdown pass, and then in the second half, you give up a 69-yard touchdown pass, a 25-yard touchdown pass, a 17- and a 30-yard touchdown run each. Wisconsin was 8 of 14 on third down, 101 on fourth down, total of 589 yards, 361 through the air, 228 rushing yards. And the defense got no sacks. And this was an offense that, when I'm talking about the offense, this was a Wisconsin offense that had struggled. We had talked about it. They came in averaging less points than Purdue per game. And they sure didn't look like it this weekend. It was the big plays. And then again, it was the costly turn or the costly penalties that really hurt this team again. And you know, it was almost like a Groundhog's Day. Like it's just big play after big play after big play, and next thing you know, to your point, we're down, look up, and we're down 35-6.
The drives they gave up too were They were long, like what is it, on the 52-yard drive over that ends with a 52-yard touchdown pass. It's a 91-yard drive, and then what, the drive at the end of the first half, 75 yards. Drive to open up the second half, 75. Drive after that, 98 yards. And 78 and 60. So it's not even necessarily like, oh, they're playing with short fields. Like, no, they're having to drive the length of the field on you, and they're doing it rather quickly. The longest scoring drive they had was a little over 4.5 minutes, 4 minutes and 39 seconds. It was a 98-yard drive. So
there was a drive, I think it was the one to their third touchdown drive, I believe. I think Wisconsin had first and 25. And like three plays later, they're in the end zone. So, there was chances to get off the field, and whether it was blown coverages, there was some more missed tackles that popped up, but I felt like this time it was more just blown coverages. Dudes just running free. For whatever reason, Purdue loves to do this thing where they, send three guys to rush and drop eight, and I can't remember a time that it's worked. And so, we talked about the identity on offense. And I don't know that this defense has much of an identity either. They can't get to the quarterback. And they just dudes are running wide open down the field.
Yeah, I mean, if the defense has an identity right now, it's of all the wrong things. So they have an identity, obviously, of missing tackles, of giving up big plays, not being able to get pressure on the quarterback, not maintaining rush lane discipline, and the list can keep going on. You're right too. Like Wisconsin was struggling coming into this game, and you wouldn't know it by what you're seeing here with the in the in the box score. I mean, we had them looking like the 2019 LSU squad with Burrow and Chase and Jefferson. And yeah, you just don't know. Again, it's just much like with the offense, just like you said, like what does this defense do? Like what where do you hang your hat on? Just like you said, like, yeah, like I mean, not able to get off the field when you need to. I think Wisconsin was 8 of 14 on third downs. And I don't imagine they were all third and shorts. So yeah, just like even for as for the woes you had on offense, it was just it was for the most part it was just as woeful on defense. And obviously, yeah, they do have they're able to kind of hang their hat on the fact that yeah they were able to get some get a couple turnovers. And look, maybe to their like and just in fairness to them, if we if those two turnovers turn into touchdowns, who knows what happens. And then also, I'm not going to hang the first touchdown that we gave up. I'm not going to hang that on them because obviously that was a short field right after with the, an immediate change of possession after the fumble. But yeah, I mean, at least like this is the first game I think where in the second half they really just kind of allowed the other the opposition to just run wild, literally. Just yeah, it's just disappointing, man. It's just disappointing, and you're left scratching your head and trying to figure out, okay, well, what where do you where is the first place of like you try to get where's the first area you point to for improvement, like where? Because it just seems as though there's so many problems. It's like, man, you want to try to fix it all at once.
And I think that's the scary thing now is like one, where do you go from here? And two, this was supposed to be the soft part of the schedule.
Yeah.
Like if you look, so they go at Illinois, home against number three, Oregon, home against Northwestern, at number two, Ohio State, home against number four, Penn State. So three of your next five games are against top five teams. Another one of those games next week is on the road against a top 25 team. Like I, how your point, like how, where do you go from here? I think you just got to kind of try to take some small wins. And I think one area that you can really try to hone in on is for the offense is red zone efficiency, because you're not going to beat a lot of teams kicking field goals in the red zone.
No.
And then on defense, maybe try to build off these turnovers here. You finally were able to get some plays made, and kind of try to build off that, but yeah, I mean, I feel like it's been like a super depressing talk, and like not to sound like be so negative, but like I just don't know where you go from here when you're about to play three top five teams and another top 25 team on the road.
Yeah, and heck, and then if you include that school down south, you got five top 25 teams that you still have yet to play this year. I think for myself, the thing I think of is just like you want to try to clean up the little stuff, you know, so you want, I've like, you know, and we've talked about this for the last few weeks about how, like, you know, the self-inflicted wounds, you know, like with the punt, what are you doing? Like, you're inside the 10, what are you doing trying to field that? What was I just thinking? Yeah, I mean, obviously penalties, you have tackling, and just in general, like within times when you see guys with, when you see these blown coverages, it's like, all right, does everyone know their assignment? So then you're asking, okay, well, like maybe we need to be focusing on that, but just making sure that guys in general understand where their role, what their role is, where they're supposed to be at. If we're playing a zone, okay, where's my area coverage, that type of stuff. Cause it feels like even those details are not like those details are being overlooked or they're being forgotten. And that's what's, you know, obviously it's contributing to what the bludgeoning that we've been, you know, we've been seeing really for the better part of the last month.
Yeah. No, I would agree. And you know, you got to start. I would think you're going to start seeing a lot more accountability. And I wouldn't be shocked to see soon if certain players aren't performing that there's going to be some changes made. And I don't really know, like, you know, I'm not trying to like not call anybody out or anything. And I don't know what those are. I'm just speaking in very general terms. But if you like start to see the same mistakes, I think there's going to be some changes made as far as personnel with the players, because, you know, we're week six into the season and this is basic stuff that you're seeing with the missed coverages or drop passes or holding penalties, whatever you want to, you know, there's a laundry list of things. Right. And I'm going to be curious to see kind of if we see more accountability there as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's been that way for obviously ever since the Notre Dame game, but each week it just, if you're on that football team, whether you're a coach or you're a player, you just cannot feel like your position there is safe. And like, I'm with you, like you're at a point in the season now, especially with the players, where guys who are starting, if they're continuing to make the same mistakes, well then, yeah, I wouldn't surprise me if I start seeing people, you know, slip on the depth chart, start seeing some more movement on the depth chart, because at a certain point it's like, all right, well, let's give this person an opportunity to see if with more reps, you know, they're kind of able to do what we're asking of them.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. We will break down more of Purdue and Illinois next podcast in the middle of the week. So look for that, but want to end on a positive note. And the volleyball team had another nice weekend. It was really good to see a bounce back, you know, start to, they had hit a little bit of a hiccup with a couple of losses out in the Jayhawk Classic. And then against Penn State at home, I don't think anybody was like panicking because those were three really good teams. But it was nice to see them kind of bounce back and build on a little winning streak. Now they've won three in a row, all in the Big Ten. And this past weekend beat Northwestern and Michigan State, and they did it pretty handily each time. So it was nice to see the volleyball team kind of bounce back a little bit and kind of, for lack of a better term, kind of right the ship again. Not that I don't think anybody was worried, but you always, you know, it's encouraging to see that a bounce back.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you lose to three ranked teams, three really good teams. And so yeah, just like you said, I don't think anyone's panicking, but it's just kind of like, hey, look, we want to try to get back to these winning ways. And you hope that obviously in those losses, you're taking something away from it. And so for the ladies who have responded the way that they have since, you know, since that Penn State loss, you really like to see that. And I watched the match tonight against Michigan State. And yeah, it was very like they controlled it. They controlled the match, the like I mean, they swept them, so they controlled the match from pretty much the beginning. Defensively, they were outstanding. They're outstanding. I don't know how many times I thought that Michigan State was going to win a point, and then someone got a dig, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's back, and Purdue actually ends up getting the point. So, obviously, just a good bounce back for the ladies after that rough bit of that rough stretch that you referred to earlier.
Yeah, and also major shout out to Coach Dave Sh Shondell. With this win over Michigan State, he becomes the winningest head coach in program history. This was his 470th win at Purdue. So just, major shout out to him. That's pretty cool honor. And when you kind of look at the coaches, I think Purdue is really lucky. I think Coach Shondell and Coach Matt Painter are very similar. And it's really neat to see a coach, just have sustained success at a program. So major shout out to Coach Dave Shondell there.
Yeah, and much like with Painter, if Nike or whoever wants to start coming out with the quarter zips that Shondell is wearing, I'm like, two please immediately. But yeah, it is nice. That's actually a good parallel to draw between those two about how they have their, they've both been kind of they've been solid within their program. They've built a program that has had sustained success. And obviously, if we could get that for the other sport we've talked about today, that would be great.
So that'll just about wrap up this episode. Appreciate everybody listening and kind of going through the pain with us here. But like we always say, basketball's right around the corner. Basketball starts this month. In fact, October 30th is the first exhibition game. Let's get gung ho for basketball.
Yeah, and what is it the Final Four video or whatever from last year? I think it's up on YouTube. It's like an hour and a half. So, if you're really sad, you can just go back and relive that. Because, like you said, basketball is right around the corner, and soon enough, we can just act like, nah, we're actually a basketball school. We don't even do anything with football. So.
Yeah, and that is an awesome video too. So make sure you check that out. And also, NBA right around the corner. So, there's a couple Boilermakers to keep an eye on. I think, everybody wants to see how Edie looks in Memphis, and Jaden in Detroit. So all things basketball related hopefully will kind of get you in a more positive mood as we kind of turn the page into October and look ahead to basketball. But yeah, that'll just about do this episode. We will go ahead and wrap everything up again. Want to thank everybody for listening. Please make sure to tell all your friends, your family. Please make sure to give us a 5-star rating and review. But thank you everybody for listening. And like we said, brighter times are ahead. Basketball's right around the corner. Everything will be okay. Let's take a deep breath and boiler up.
Yes, sir.